You're listening to highlights from the Creative Processes interview with computer scientist Fabien Gandon and research engineer Franck Michel, authors of Pay Attention, A Call to Regulate the Attention Market and Prevent Algorithmic Emotional Governance. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
The fact that technologies are being used and combined to capture our attention. And this is being done currently with no limitation, with no regulations. That's the main problem. Attention is a very private resource, and no one should be allowed to extract it from us by exploiting what we know about the human mind, about how it's working, what are its weaknesses. So we wrote this paper as a call to regulate the attention market and prevent algorithmic emotional governance. Absolutely. I think one of the key element right now, when we talk about AI regulation, for instance, is the notion of not only observability, but also auditability. You need to check things against the original documented objective of these things. So for each one of these techniques, we need to have these actors to take two steps, at least. The first one is to publicly document the objective of their techniques, what they want to do with them. And then we need them to make them observable so that we can be sure the actual technique is pursuing the documented objective. In other words, we need each one of these players to say, I want to use that technique to recommend better content to you. Then I'm showing you the data so that you can check that my technique is actually doing that and not something else. You need these two steps, which are extremely important in terms of transparency. If you don't have these two steps, if you don't know what is the intended objective of the company, and if you cannot check that this is actually the objective pursued by the techniques, you have a black box, and you can only do managed damage control after that. And so it's extremely important from these different types, there are really a combined effect. So to put it blankly, our brains are being hacked, and we can identify at least two ways this is happening. The first category are techniques which are explicitly designed. So for instance, when the applications use notifications or tells you how many people liked what you published, they are using the dopaminergic pathways of your brain reward system, and they are tapping into your need for social approval. They are using this technique. And some of these techniques are known as dark pattern, and they are here to nudge us into action that we wouldn't have taken otherwise. And the second category of techniques are techniques based on machine learnings, which are actually trained on massive behavioral data from the web platforms. They learn how to recommend content to us. But if the objective of this technique is not to actually recommend the best content, but to increase, to prolong our engagement on the platform, if that's the actual objective of the technique, then they can end up selecting content that is not necessarily very interesting in itself, but that actually triggers negative emotions, which are very well known to keep us engaged on the platform. And that's how you end up having a system polluting your days with negative emotion content just to keep you connected. And so in both cases, it is important to document what is the objective and to be able to observe what is actually being done so that we can make people accountable for the action and say, look, you told us you wanted to do A, but you are doing B. And we do not agree with that.
What are the goals of the platforms? If you look at what the main social media tell us about what they will do for us, they will tell you that they promise to find for us what interests us on the web. But by doing so, they train algorithms to recommend information that, let's say, conforms to our tastes, to our beliefs, which is very convenient, which is very really comfortable, but it's too comfortable. It tends to lock us into a filter bubble, a comfortable informational space where we are no longer confronted with contradiction or facts or ideas that will just challenge our own opinions. This has a very concerning consequence. It's the agenda setting. The thing is that doing so, those platforms decide for us not what we have to think, but what we have to think about. You know, the second thing is that by creating a vision of the world which is specific for us, which is almost unique for each of us, these techniques lock us into some sort of biased realities. And the consequence here is that, say, if we observe the same reality, the same facts, then we can debate and argue about the reasons for some issues that occur in the world and how to solve them. Fair enough. But what happens if we see a different reality? If we do not observe the same facts, then, well, the debate becomes hardly possible. And this is, however, essential to the functioning of democracies. So by doing this action of locking us in a nice, comfortable informational space, they tend to undermine the principles of democracy, which is to be able to discuss together with different opinions about the same facts.
I completely agree. What is actually frightening from a historical perspective is that with the initial objective of making advertising more effective, the widespread use of attention-capturing techniques and the use they make of the cognitive bias, the emotion, coupled with the network effect of this application, they are having a very worrying deleterious effect on our societies. We mentioned polarization of opinion. We could mention the dissemination of false information, fake news. We could also see it as terrible mechanism for fragmenting our societies. This is splitting people. It's important, I believe, to stress that there is danger in how our attention is captured and focused on things that we do not choose. That's one part of the danger we actually mentioned. But there is another danger, which I think is very relevant to us today, because this podcast is called The Creative Process. So this is the perfect place to mention another worrying impact of the technique for capturing attention, the impact on the creative process itself. Because we know that concentration, but also boredom, intellectual wandering, daydreaming, they are essential to creative thinking. And many of us have already experienced the flash of a sudden brilliant idea in the middle of a moment of relaxation, right? But by stealing these moments, attention capturing system, they hinder the creative process. And it is our opinion that this should be a major concern for all the activities and professions requiring concentration, creativity, and imagination. One might ask, what attention-capturing systems are doing to areas such as politics, health, education, artistic creation, you name it. In other words, I think the podcast creative process is the right place to say attention creators. So I really agree with your analysis. There is a philosopher and sociologist, Grosshaus, who wrote about the fact that acceleration is a type of alienation. Acceleration is a way to alienate people. AI tends to accelerate things, especially AI and the techniques we mentioned. They try to call upon our reflexes, our immediate reactions, and not to give us the time for thinking. They are replacing reflection with reflexes. They want to trigger them. Okay? But there is a case to be defended here. There is a point to be made, which is not everything should be accelerated. We need to choose the task we want to automate and accelerate. We need to pick the one. We want to accelerate laundry, yes, but not necessarily another task. There are some domains where it's already known. For instance, in France, when you buy a flat, there is a duration during which the decision cannot be finalized. And this duration is here to give you the time to think twice about your action, because it's an important action. It's an important investment. This time is in the law. This time should not be shortened. This action should not be accelerated. And there is a reason for that. And so I really think we literally need to take the time back. And the second point, which also comes to my mind here, is that In the 50s, when the term artificial intelligence was coined, nearly at the same time and in the same region, another term was coined, which was augmented intelligence around Douglas Engelbart. And the point that was made at that time is that human should be the center of everything first. We should look at what we want to augment in human activity, what is beneficial, what is good for him. But human should always be at the center of the picture. That's the big difference between AI and IA, between artificial intelligence and intelligence augmentation, is that the human is at the center of the picture from the beginning. About fast content, we are generating fast content, but the quality is not here. The quality is not here. The link to the nature is lost, and it's completely different, at least in my case, to be contemplating a fake ocean video versus knowing that the video I'm looking at was recorded by a human who had to dive, who had to travel, who had to go down, to wait until he captured that rare species. The value in the first one and the second one are completely different. But yes, there is this tendency to go for acceleration again. And just like we have fast food, we now have fast content.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to these highlights. To listen to the latest episodes or learn more about participating in exhibitions or interviews, click on subscribe. Thank you for listening.